Friends, you're listening to Irish Radio Network, USA, irishradio.com. And I want to not introduce, because he knows and is known by more people than many, but his name is Steve Duggan, a friend of mine for a good 40 years or so. And Steve Duggan is from Ballyhays in County Cavan. And Steve, you're very welcome indeed.
Thanks very much, Ian. I'm glad to be able to talk to you. Thank you.
Now, I want to, the main purpose of our reaching out to you today is to let people know, many of whom will have fond memories of Paddy Riley's pub. Your partner, Paddy Riley, indeed Ireland's balladeer, arguably one of the best known Irish balladeers in the world. But I want to start with you first. You were born, raised, bred and buttered in Ballyhays, according to Anya Sheridan here, right at the entrance to Ballyhays Agricultural College.
That is true. That is very true.
Yes. And you indeed had made your mark before ever coming to the United States, because you owned a ballroom. And where was that, actually? In what area?
The ballroom was in Cavan Town itself, and the name of the ballroom was the Sports Centre Ballroom.
How about that? Yeah.
Yes.
And you were actually pioneer, even in that time, in getting some of the bands that became, and musicians that became well known. Many of them were discovered by yourself, Steve Duggan. And how did you rise them in those days?
Well, I was always involved in music. As I said, I came from Ballyhale, and there was a famous band, and I'm sure you heard them hundreds of times. The three of the brothers came from beside me in Ballyhale, called the Mighty Avons.
My God, yes. We have the record.
And then, and yes, of course. And then there was, there used to be a show on Radio Air, and I think every Saturday night, and my mother and father, Lord of Mercy, used to get up, and the Mighty Avons played on that show one night. I forget the name of the show on RTE, way back. But they were, that is every Saturday night. And we were all listening to the Mighty Avons, and that's how I got the buzz for music in the beginning.
Yeah.
Through the Mighty Avons.
Now, you're also, you know, of your sports career, you know, you, well, you claim anyway that you're one hell of a footballer, a legend in your own mind, so to speak.
Well,
but tell us about that part of growing up.
Well, I, Ballyhays, and we had a small little team there, and I was a fitness fanatic at the time.
Wow.
I used to play with Cavan, and if Cavan played in Breffni Park on a Sunday, I would come home. There was no drinking involved at the time. But anyway, Breffni Park was only 5 miles from Ballyhays, and I'd come out to my, after the game, we'd go to the Farnham Hotel for something to eat. Then
yeah.
I'd get into my car, or someone would pick me up, bring me out to Ballyhays, and I used to jog around the field beside the Agricultural College for 4 or 5 miles. So I was really addicted to be fit. And I could have been addicted to a lot worse, couldn't I?
Absolutely. You know, you just happened to mention something there about, you know, no drinking. I don't know how many of our listeners would know, definitely anybody coming from Ireland. But I think a lot of our listeners might be surprised to know that back in those days, dance halls and marquees, you know, that they didn't really serve any alcohol.
No, they didn't.
Well, some did, but anyway, we won't get into that.
Yeah. No, but there were 300 ballrooms like mine all over Ireland, and they called them dry ballrooms because you weren't allowed to sell alcohol away back in the day in the 70s.
Yeah.
You were not allowed to sell alcohol.
Yeah. Well, and, you know, and indeed, since we're that far into the conversation, by the time that, you know, the patrons would show up that have a half a bag on anyway, most of them by that time, and that's why bands didn't need to show up, didn't need to be on stage until later in the evening.
Correct.
You remember those days, I'm sure.
I do indeed.
Steve, you came to New York, and you were,
yes.
Oh, that's a good 40 years ago.
83.
Yeah, okay. So when you came to New York, at what point did you hook up with and become a partner with Paddy Reilly and open undoubtedly one of the best known pub, singing pub, music pub in New York City?
Yes. Well, anyway, in 83 I came out, and a friend of mine, he was from Shercocken, County Cavan, and a guy called Tom O'Reilly, and he owned a bar between 25th and 26th on Lexington, right across from the Armory. And he gave me a chance there. He gave me a chance to work there. And then Jim Hand, who happened to be Paddy's manager in Ireland at the time, he used to manage bands away back, and they played for me in the Sports Centre Ballroom away back. So Jim came out, and he said to me, would you be interested in Paddy, in promoting Paddy Reilly or booking Paddy Reilly? I'd love to, but the only problem is I don't know where San Francisco is. I don't know where Boston is. I'm not well into the maps here. And anyway, I put an ad in the Irish Echo, I think it was. Steve Duggan Promotions, now booking Paddy Reilly and Brendan Grace. So Paddy was my first man out. And when the ad came out in the Irish Echo, the phone agent was ringing off the hook to book Paddy. Yes. And someone had called me up from San Francisco. Yes, I have that date. Someone had called me up from Boston. Yes, I have that date. Someone would call me up from New York. Yes, I have that date. And then we discovered I'd down for about 2 weeks, and he was in San Francisco one night, Boston the next, Los Angeles the next night. And when the whole thing was over, we sat down with Jim Hand and him somewhere in Manhattan, and says Paddy, Steve, thanks very much for having me. I never made as much money in all my life before. But says he, would you ever buy a map of America?
I'm sure, yeah.
I nearly killed him.
And from that day to this, you didn't bother with that either. But I wanted to ask you, though, before we get to Paddy Reilly's, was that the beginning of your career as a promoter? You had the bug, obviously, from Ballyhays and County Cavan when you got here. Was it due to the success of Paddy Reilly and indeed Brendan Grace, who we shouldn't skip over?
No.
Again, Brendan Grace, you know, arguably the best comedian, singer, musician that ever came out of Ireland. Was that part of your success in being recognized as a big-time band promoter?
Without a shadow of a doubt, it was Paddy Reilly that put me on the road out here. Paddy was the man. And then I got involved with Brendan Grace, and then I used to take out another band who you'd be familiar with, Bagatelle, Liam Riley and Bagatelle.
Oh, my God,
I looked after them, and I did a bit of work with Stockton's Wing as well.
Wow, yeah. Well, I remember during those times, too, I was quite involved myself in running Irish festivals and also Irish concerts and weekends in the Jewish Catskills. And I did say already that, you know, we've been friends for 40 years. Some of them were a bit rough, though, because I knew when Steve Duggan would quote a price, that the first thing you ought to do is, as a favor to yourself, would be to take off a third off the top anyway, and then start bargaining downward. But you got indeed a tremendous number of groups off the ground here, and you know, on many of those, you know, on many of those occasions, bands, you know, were introduced to America again, you know, because now none of them were overpaid, but then you come from the county of thrift and great business acumen. Anyway, I thought I'd throw that one in there for good measure.
You're doing well so far,
Steve.
But I used to be involved in one of the biggest, well, the biggest Irish festival in America was Milwaukee. It was number
one. Yes.
Boston and Chicago were up there as well. And then I started one in 1996 out at Belmont Racetrack. I think you might have been my guest of honor one year. Right?
I was. I don't know. Indeed. I mean, I was supposed to get a plaque, and that didn't... That's another thing you owe me, but anyway, that's beside the point.
I have it hanging up on the wall in Paddy Riley's.
I better pick it up before March 31st.
And wait till I tell you, I don't know whether we can mention any prices or not, but
you
I
can
had
mention
a band
any price you want. Yeah.
Right, I had a band from Boston, Dropkick Murphys. And they were Celtic rockers, and a lot of people said, Steve, don't be bringing them down into an Irish festival. But Eamon Coughlin at the time, he was my partner in the music business.
Yes.
And Eamon, I had them for $1,750 on a Saturday and a Sunday, and now Dropkick Murphys will be getting about $200,000. So we helped to start that band way back in 2002. That's when they played for me. 2002.
2002, and then they, now they are, and they have been over the last number of years, probably one of the most popular bands in places, in colleges, and in huge areas where, not surprised that that they're making more money than they would, God knows.
They're great. And then there's another band, Flog and Molly from LA. They play the similar type of music, Flog and Molly.
Absolutely, yeah.
Yeah.
So you open back, I believe it would be 1987. You open
March 86.
March of 86, okay. So
March 86.
And this pub... bar was that a bar before you bought it? Was it
it was a bar, but we opened up, Adrian, on the corner of 28th Street and 2nd Avenue, and Paddy Riley and Paddy's manager Jim Hand were my partners at the time. And then in July 94 we bought the building up on 29th and 2nd.
Yes.
And then, I sold the building 9 years ago.
Yeah.
But I had the lease, and my lease is up now at the end of March. And the new owners, they don't want to. But I got a good run for my money. I'm there for 36 years.
Absolutely right. Yeah. And what county did you say you were from again?
County Cavan.
Oh yeah, you bought the building and then you sold it and became a tenant. Oh, somebody got screwed there, but anyway, let's
move on to the next one.
We move on. The place itself and still is. It is an icon. It is a bar. You never put a lot of money into it, though. I know you took plenty out of it.
I did.
What did you do?
I have floorboards, Adrian, in my bar that came from Ireland. I got my friend from Ballyhays in Cavan to come out and renovate the whole bar in July 94, which he did. And I have floorboards in my bar that John F. Kennedy danced on in White's Hotel in Wexford.
Wow.
The floorboards.
Yeah.
I swear, that is the truth. The Kennedys were great friends of my John F. Kennedy Jr., Lord of Mercenham, was in my bar 2 weeks before he was killed in the aeroplane crash.
Oh, my God. That's...
Actually, we used to get everyone, Gregory Peck and everyone, way back in the day, Adrian. So you know.
Yeah.
You were there
yourself. Some of them, indeed. And that's, I believe, that's where the one and only time I met Brad Pitt, who happened to be there.
Brad Pitt.
Yeah. And
and Kiefer Sunderland, Brad Pitt and Kiefer Sunderland, they were shadow boxing down at the end of the bar. I don't know whether that's the night they were talking, but they were only messing. But Brad used to come in a bit, all right, yes.
My God. And of course, you had, Christy Turlington, and some of them have come to mind.
Naomi.
Campbell, yeah. And
wait till I tell you another good one about Naomi. I used to have a special bottle behind the bar, and I had a sign on it or a label on it, Holy Water.
Oh, how about that?
But it was the queer stuff from Ireland. The flight attendants and the pilots used to bring out the stuff from Ireland.
Good old Putin.
Now you have her. But I used to put on a sign in the bottle, Holy Water. And Naomi was there one night, and Christy, and Jason Patrick. And Jason is still a great friend of mine. But before you go, have a drop of this holy water. And I give them three good shots of it. And says Naomi to me, God, Steve, I love that holy water. Could I have another shot? And I give them another good shot of it. Now, I didn't see this happening.
Yeah.
But they went outside, and the fresh air got to her, and... she had to make a move for the bathroom out on 29th Street.
Well, I'm glad you filled in on that. Yeah. hopefully it wasn't out on the street.
The holy water.
Listen, I want to get to the part there where I'm sure it was your own creation, but from day one, going to Paddy Riley's, you having, the cheek that you grew up with, coined the phrase, the perfect pint. So was that anybody who went to Paddy Riley's, people who wouldn't even think of trying out Guinness.
A Guinness.
Would indeed, they'd try, the perfect pint because that's because you said it. I mean, it wasn't for any other reason. But what role did that play in the success of that
particular
music?
I'll tell you what role that played. We became the first and only all-draft Guinness bar in the world. Okay. When you came into my bar years ago, all we had on draft was G-U-I-N-N-E-S-S, Guinness. Nothing in draft, is it? Only Guinness. If you go into a bar in Dublin or anywhere, they'll have Guinness, but they'll have Smithwick's or Hart. But all we had was Guinness. And I still have the taps in the bar.
Wow.
The G-U-I-N-N.
Yeah, all right.
We still have them. But that's what, and it was great. So between the Guinness and the music, that's what kept the show on the road.
Yeah. You know, if you keep this up,
we
might go down and buy a bloody landlord of yours. Yeah.
I have a band playing, and you know them, the Prodigals. They're playing with me for 27 years.
I know, indeed, and an excellent band, too. And they give you 100% credit for getting off the ground. But I would, and they're great. But let me ask you about Black 47. And before you can tell them, you called, I was running a festival in Rockaway, in Queens back in the day. And
I
you
know it,
called me,
there.
Yeah, and you called me and you said, I have this band. And said, they are fantastic. And we struck a deal and Black 47 came to Rockaway. And by just advertising that Black 47 were there, there was an instant a crowd change. A lot of the old people went home and said, that's it. They were on at the end of the day.
But tons of
young people who loved their kind of music and could not be confused. There was nobody singing the old Bog Road, you know, or Take This Message from My Mother, Paddy Riley, for that matter. But they had, they started in the Bronx, right?
And Chris Bourne. But they were playing, what was it, the Irish Village Bar up in the Bronx years ago, and they were doing their own Celtic rock and thing, and they took a break at half time, and the owner of the bar, I forget who he was at the time, he said, look at that, you don't have to go on back there again. There was enough of it. So the people that were there, they couldn't handle their music, and Chris Bourne got on to me. And that's how it started with me. Chris Bourne got on to me, and I put them into my bar, and that was the next is history. They just took off big time.
Absolutely. Now, the chicken and the egg, did the... you didn't have many bars. You didn't have many bars on 2nd Avenue at that time. Did that... was that an attraction? Because you had it... No. Okay.
There was one bar up the road from me. It was called Limerick, two or three blocks away.
Okay.
A bar called Limerick's.
Yeah.
Away back.
But anyway, Paddy Riley, again, the balladeer and the partner of yours. Paddy Riley...
He's retired now.
He's retired. And
he's retired from singing and everything, yeah.
Yeah, well, it's not no more than yourself now. We don't have to take up any collection from him. He's doing all right.
He's doing okay.
When Paddy Riley was, appearing there, there would be so many people who would come down to hear Paddy Riley, and in person, and Paddy spent as much time. You know, having a little jorum with the customers in the bars, he would
outside
on the stage.
Outside the bar, yes. But Paddy, I've been with him, Adrian, a lot of people said to me, Paddy, he'd be gone stage drunk. I was with Paddy Riley for all those years. Paddy Riley would have two shots of Johnny Walker Black.
Yeah.
Just to get him...
Get
it rhythmed up
running
a little bit.
Yeah.
But he... And all the times I was with him, and I was with him all over the United States and Canada, I never saw him going on that stage drunk in my life. But he'd make up for it when the show was over.
Yeah, well, that's,
he said that himself.
That was fair enough. But you're right on that one. A lot of people did. But then many's the one who took the rap, you know, for a lie. So,
yes.
But the pub itself... Now, did you ever serve food I know you were supposed to, but did you ever make a sandwich down there?
When we were on 28th Street, when we were on 28th Street, before we moved up to 29th in July 1994, we used to do food, and I didn't know anything about food. I couldn't boil an egg. I'm a disaster. And I had somebody in there running the food kitchen for me. But anyway, it didn't turn out well, and I got rid of it. And
then
I put the band, and I put the band into the kitchen, where the kitchen was. And I remember Paul Hill, the great Paul Hill, and he was going out with Courtney Kennedy at the time.
Right.
And when you were in the kitchen, there was a couple of little bars to look out through from the kitchen out into the bar. And says Paul Hill to me, "I'm used to these bars," says Paul. He was sitting in on a cooker. Yeah, that's what Paul said. "I'm used to looking out through these bars." Because he spent all the time over in England, didn't he?
Did he? In jail, indeed.
In jail. And then the Kennedys, and Courtney Kennedy, she was lovely. And their daughter died, you know, that Saoirse, died there a couple of years ago, 22 years of age. She died up in Cape Cod or Massachusetts somewhere. Oh, yes, Saoirse. Lovely, lovely, 22 years of age. And John F. Kennedy, I'm going to stay with the Kennedys. John F. Kennedy Jr. was in my bar 2 weeks. He had 2 pints of Guinness, I'll never forget it, 2 pints of Guinness, before he was killed in the aeroplane crash.
Now, a lot of people who came to the bar were actually living in your area, in your neighbourhood down there, as well. And
a lot of them, but they come from Bronx and Queens as well.
Oh, I know, I know, I knew that, but... Yeah. Of the celebrities who went in there, they weren't looking. As a matter of fact, one of the attractions of Paddy Riley's pub was that you could go in there and the atmosphere, the music, the camaraderie, everything was terrific. So nobody bothered you if you had...
Correct. You're on the ball
You're
on the ball.
Yeah. And And again,
leave those people on their own,
And believe me, they didn't go in there to get a deal because, you know, you were never known to buy a drink, and nobody would know that better than myself. But
I'm from Cavan. I'm from Cavan.
All right.
Be careful.
You're coming to the end of an era. And in fact, neighborhood has changed not only... but a lot of people have left your particular...
10,000 people have left my neighbourhood, Murray Hill, Kips Bay. 10,000, I read that in the paper, but they are coming back in dribs and drabs.
Yeah.
As you know, I don't have to tell you with Manhattan. Manhattan will always do well.
Absolutely. And the lower it goes, the better it comes back. That's for sure.
And I'm just looking at a note here. And do you know who sang in my bar? His daughter used to work in my bar. Brendan Byer's daughter, Clodagh. And Brendan used to, when he'd come into town, he'd get up and he'd sing a song. And I remember one night, he was up singing the Hucklebuck. And who was dancing in front of the stage? Gabriel Byrne.
Wow.
Was doing the Hucklebuck to Brendan Byer. Brendan only went up and he sang you a couple of songs,
Yeah. Well, I tell you, you're proving, you know, a well-known point. You're a lot of things, but you're not a name dropper. But I want to ask you, though, about, you know, coming up to the closing of the bar. Now, we know, and I can say this because, you know, we are friends, and a bit of slagging never went astray with either one of us. But you've done very well. You've obviously, even though you were closed for, 14 months during the pandemic?
14 months, yes.
Now, that had to hurt, as it did so many Irish hospitality areas and bars and pubs and restaurants. But in as you approach the last month are you going to miss this? Do you have something up your sleeve Do you think it might be starting?
I have something up my sleeve.
Okay, that's awesome.
But I'm definitely going to miss it. Of course I'm going to miss it. At the moment, I spend a lot of time. I sold my building 9 years ago, and I bought a couple of apartments down in Miami. And I like Miami, but I can only handle Miami for 7 or 10 days on my own. But when Miss Tina, when Tina's there, my partner, Tina Moore, it's great. Because she's always going shopping here and shopping there. And,
oh, sure.
But she's her own credit card. That's all right. That's all right.
That's
her own credit card.
That's all right.
But I drive her.
You didn't have to say that. I can't imagine you even lending your credit card. Anyway, never mind.
Yeah.
Should we, can we expect that one of the days there will be, you know, you're not selling the name, the Paddy Riley's brand. Might there be another Paddy Riley's? And maybe I shouldn't have asked you that because you wouldn't tell the truth anyway. But,
no.
No.
Okay. But I am thinking about moving Paddy's bar and hooking up with another Irish bar not too far away from me. But anyway, that's
not for today.
Yeah.
All right, no.
That's not definite.
Yeah.
But I definitely, Adrian, I will miss it big time. I will miss it big time.
Yeah.
But as I said before, I got a good run for my money.
And you did, and again,
and you know who started off? Yeah, and you know who started off an awful lot of this for me? Patricia Harty. You know Patricia, don't you?
Patricia Harty is indeed one
Irish.
Of his... She's the, indeed, she's the co-founder and editor of Irish American Magazine.
Correct.
Yeah. And,
She started a lot of this off for me, fair play to her, back in the day.
All right. Well.
It was her putting me in touch with a lot of people. So I have to give her a big thank you.
Still doing it. Yes. Well, that's great. Steve, we'll be no doubt hearing, you know, a lot more from you. But again,
yes.
I know that there are so many people. Not only, you did a lot of damage down there too, because a lot of people who met, you know, in Paddy Riley's bar, you know, they were, may have been overserved, and God knows they paid for it. But, they wound
up. Naomi Campbell was one of them.
They wound up being lifetime partners, so they either have very fond memories of Paddy Riley's and Paddy Riley's bar, or they cursed the day they went into it in the first place. So you have a legacy, and again, it's one of the places in New York City that not only did extremely well and provided a lot of good nature, great music 7 nights a week, the only place in town.
Yes, correct.
Regardless, if you went to Paddy Riley's pub, you would be guaranteed not just any old music, but the best of music.
The best. And even at the moment, Aidan, we have great bluegrass, the best bluegrass session on a Sunday evening. It starts at 6 o'clock. You have to come down yourself and on you. One before we close.
Yeah, well, all right, that's fine. Do I need to bring my wallet or, because you do, I'd say...
No, keep...
If
you bring your wallet in your pocket, keep your money in your sock. I keep my money in my sock because there's a smell down there and no one ever goes down there to look for money.
See... Good luck to you again. Now, you would never have come on here unless you got something for nothing. And
be nice.
So
I'm going to buy you a pint of Guinness and it cost me $2.
Listen, for the month of March, you're having a St. Patrick's Day celebration every day.
And you have to come down and come in just, and I'm getting George Wentworth from Cheers. I'm reaching out to a lot of star to come in and just pull a couple of pints of Guinness. You know, that's all.
Oh, my God. Yeah.
So you might do that. You might do that.
I would love to do that. I don't have to pay for it, though, right? I mean, that's
a... Oh, no, no, no.
No, okay.
Fair enough. Charge the customer double.
Hey,
okay,
it's a pleasure having you, and indeed,
please keep in touch.
I will, absolutely, and you too. It's Paddy Riley's
with
2nd Avenue and 29th Street in Manhattan, and friends, again, it's going to close on the 31st of March, but in the meantime, for those who have very fond memories of Paddy Riley, it's a great place to go. And if you want to indeed show up at a place with, you know, an iconic place with a tremendous tradition, then it's Paddy Riley's on 29th Street and 2nd Avenue. My guest and friend, Steve Duggan. So long, Steve.
Thank you.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
God bless. And friends, you're listening to Irish Radio Network. You.